From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
Historic downtown Oviedo is described pejoratively by some as dilapidated and hodgepodge lodge-like, or complimentary by others as charming, quaint, and authentic. Hello, I'm Stephen McKinney Stack. As the old downtown area copes with the economy, it's pinning its hope for enhancement on the success of a new development to its east known as Oviedo on the Park, a yet-to-be-fully-realized live-work-play jewel in the city's crown. A community redevelopment pact between the new Oviedo on the Park and the downtown area will take property tax revenue gains from the success of the park and use them to fund the enhancements to historic downtown. This podcast is a 9-minute interview with Oviedo Mayor Dominic Persampierre, examining the historic area and describing its future redevelopment prospects. In addition to this interview with Persampierre, you may find it instructive to listen to our companion podcast on Oviedo on the Park. It's found on the same page as this feature. In that 6-minute interview, the mayor offers an overview of the park, what it means to residents, and how it ties into the potential success of redeveloping the downtown area. But for now, we're interested in learning from the mayor about the status of early Oviedo's Ground Zero, the historic downtown area. We've posted links on our website to documents you'll find helpful in understanding more about the plans to enhance the area. In response to my questions, the mayor addresses the history and character of downtown, the railroad, the historic fire of 1914, and the confusing confluence of major roadways through the city's very heart. He speaks fervently about the plans to modernize the area without sacrificing its charm and function, but with the necessary loss of some current structures. Seated with the mayor in a city hall office less than a mile away from the subject of our feature, I start our interview by asking Dominic Persampierre, what is to become of the historic downtown as the development of Oviedo on the Park progresses?
The historic downtown is going to redevelop into a walkable district that will be connected to the new downtown, or the new development over Oviedo on the Park. As most people see up and down Oviedo Boulevard, there are nice wide sidewalks for interconnectability. The city is going to have the trailhead up at Oviedo Gymnasium. The trailhead is already there, but the trail will actually interconnect. So it's going to be a big, large, walkable district from Mitchell Hammock Road all the way on up to Franklin, Division Street, into that area, the Baptist Church. The primary landholders down there have been working with the city on a redevelopment plan, similar to the type of plan that we put together for Oviedo on the Park. The catalyst for all of that will be the new tax revenue derived from the development of Oviedo on the Park. That's what's going to help fund some of the infrastructure improvements up in the old downtown or the historic downtown area. We have just learned recently that our road improvement dollars have been moved up by about 3 years for right-of-way acquisition from the year 2017 to the year 2014. Now, that is exciting news. I caution everybody, though, because those dollars will only be available if they're available. Currently, the TRIP funding portion, TRIP funding is the state funding program for these road projects, and currently their coffers are fairly dry.
Is that funded out of trust funds?
A lot of your TRIP funding comes out of mortgage dock stamps and such.
Not trust funds,
predominantly. Not trust funds, per se.
Or not tied up in transportation trust funds?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Okay. None. And, you know, most of the improvements down there of the roadway, people must remember, even though the basic FDOT designs that people may see out there, it looks like, you know, a highway going through the city, that's only because of the federal guidelines. I mean, we've actually retained home rule on the road, and we are going to make it a boulevard. So it's going to be a smaller lanes, tree line, sidewalks. It's the vision is there, and so we are quite excited.
Over time, how did the current downtown get to be what many refer to as dilapidated? Or as one person put it, how did it get to be so hodgepodge lodge-like?
There's a simple answer to that.
What is that?
There was a vision many years ago that if we constrained the traffic through Oviedo, and this gets back to the road issue. You know, a lot of times folks will ask, how come the roads are all widened up to Oviedo until you get to our borders? Councils of the past made a decision to constrain these roadways to force the traffic around Oviedo rather than through Oviedo in hopes of creating a thriving business district in the historic downtown area. Now, 2020 shows us that that didn't work. But that was their plan. That was their vision. That's what they had in mind. Now, there were many different studies done at the time. A lot of studies said that wouldn't work. A lot of studies said, you know, some fewer than most said maybe it would work. But it was the vision. They were trying to hang on to what this community was. This community was a one traffic light town, Stephen. So they were trying to hang on to that. So that's what created what we are dealing with in today's modern era. It just didn't work out. The convergence of the state roads in the center of our downtown is what creates that tough position that we're in. Because you've got 434 coming through the town, you've got 426 coming through the town, it breaks off 419. The intersection just needs to be improved. We'll have some widening, we'll have some improvements, we'll get some boulevards, we'll get that traffic flowing. Because once you have the traffic flowing through the downtown and the area becomes convenient, then it becomes conducive, and then you'll have development. Parking, man, there isn't very much parking down there right now either.
May I paraphrase what I understood you to say relative to the dilapidatedness of it and how that
became? I don't look at it as dilapidatedness. I look at it as opportunity.
That you said there was, with all the best of intentions in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a nostalgic grip on downtown.
Yes.
And that it simply didn't work out to match the needs of the 21st century. And now we're having to deal with that.
I think that the council, that is a fair paraphrase, but I believe that over the 10 or 12 years, the council has addressed that. When we did the new downtown study and we included mm-hmm. the old downtown in the redevelopment, we really laid the groundwork to modernize it without losing its charm, because it's nobody's intention to just plow it all down and just make it all go away. It is our intention to redevelop it. Yes, some of the buildings may go, but redevelop it into a functional downtown and still have chickens walking around in it.
It's been represented to me by those familiar with the nuance of downtowns that Oviedo's downtown is not particularly different from any downtown developed in the 30s, 40s, and 50s that had a railroad coming directly through downtown. Mm-hmm. And that much of what council today, residents today, frustratingly deal with is as a result of a railroad coming through that in and of itself, as time marches on, creates downtown problems in any community, Oviedo and beyond, that has or had a railroad coming through to it. Would you agree with that?
Yes and no. You know, the railroad in their day were the only form of transportation to get the goods, and in our case it was agricultural, out into market to be sold. That was the reason for them. I mean, there were plans years ago to build alternative routes around the city of Oviedo that just, you know, never, for one reason or another, never came into fruition. So we are dealing with the major arteries of the north-south traffic flow, and more than north-south, it's east-west. The east-west is really the problem, you know, running through the heart of the old historic downtown. So we need to deal with that in a boulevard fashion, keep it pedestrian-friendly, which is the vision goal and what's written into the plans by your city council.
You said there's no intention, clearly, that the entire historic downtown is going to be leveled. But there is going to have to be some building relocations or removals. Is that principally on the south side of County Road 426 as it goes through Oviedo?
That is currently the plan. Okay. That the takings would be more on the south side of the roadway than the north side of the roadway. A lot of those buildings that are on the south side of the roadway were built in the 30s, 40s, after the big fire that wiped out the original downtown. Most people don't realize it's not the original downtown. Most of the buildings that are there were built in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. Some are built to standards back then that aren't conducive to the types of structures or standards that we would have today.
The road development funds, are they essentially going to be applied towards extending County Road 426 further east from where it now ends in a four-lane at Oviedo High School in Pine Street?
Correct. It'll eventually push all the way through.
And when that happens, that's going to create some of the relocations of some of the buildings on the south side?
On the south side. The redevelopment plan that we're working on currently, because the actual widening all the way through is many years off, we're looking at different realignment plans to get that fifth intersection, which is where 426 currently meets Railroad Street and Station Street, kind of getting that swung over. We're working on a slight widening of the mouth of the intersection on 434, create some more turn lanes. There are many different applications and plans that we are looking at.
Mayor Dominic Persan-Pierre of the City of Oviedo, thank you very much for this interview.
My pleasure. Thank you.
On our website, you may listen to the 14-minute extended interview from which this feature with Mayor Persan-Pierre on economic development issues surrounding the redevelopment of historic downtown Oviedo was excerpted. We also encourage you to listen to the companion podcast to this feature, as Persan-Pierre is interviewed discussing the status of a substantial development project called Oviedo on the Park, the additional tax benefit from which will help fund the redevelopment of the historic downtown area. It's on Central Florida Matters webpage, where we also offer you links to other podcasts we've produced about coping with the economy in Seminole County. You may wish to consider emailing a link to this feature to those you know who have an interest in the economic development activities in the city of Oviedo. And leave a comment on the website. We've provided the online means for you to do either or both. When visiting the CMF website, please consider subscribing to our feature content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you'll be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. New podcasts are usually posted on a monthly cycle. Stay in touch, too, won't you? Follow CMF on Twitter and Facebook, or email us using the contact link provided on the website. And you may also subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on the programming and activities of Carroll McKinney Public Media. CMF is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Ample information about CMF's budget, governance, history, and future plans may be found in the transparency document drop-down at the top of the homepage. For Carroll McKinney Public Media, I'm Stephen McKinney Stack.
Support for Carroll McKinney Public Media is made possible in part with funding from Edith Bush Charitable Foundation, recognized for creating innovative civic solutions that help people help themselves.
And by the Friends of Carroll McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carroll McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carroll McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Delora Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.